Okay, before we get into the word, let's just pray. Our Father God, thank you for this evening that we can come into your house and hear your word and be encouraged by people's testimonies, as Mione shared, as Monique shared, as Matthew brought a word in the beginning as well. Lord, I thank you that we are your body, that together we can help to equip each other, to encourage each other, and to spur each other on in this journey of life. So this evening, Father, we thank you that you are with us, and we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead us, open our hearts to hear your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those of you who don't know, my name is Juliet, and Tiens and Bernie have fled, so this is Anything Can Happen Sunday. May we all survive. I've been chatting to a lot of people recently, and when we've had dinner parties and things, a common topic always comes up, and that is frustrations with various things. For example, taxis. I'm sure all of you are quite aware with our taxis in South Africa. You can go to the first slide, Eddie. I live in Vredehoek and I work here. So I drive through town past the train station. It's the quickest route. It's got lots of turning arrows, and I listen to Joyce Myers usually, and I'm all filled up with the word, and then someone crosses my path. I'm just rah! And they're like, oh, yes. And then I kind of, okay, Lord, you know, relax and keep me calm. And, you know, it's really difficult. We obviously had protests. We've had you're all aware of that. We had the Fees Must Fall not too long ago. There's a lot of tension in the nation. There's a lot of things going on. And this evening, I really want to share about living in view of eternity and just give us a different perspective, really remind us of who we are in Christ. And I think it's important that we wrestle with this topic because, especially in this day and age, people are looking at us and we are those beacons of hope. And if you don't have hope, you can't be a beacon of hope. So I really want to encourage you tonight that we walk away here with that hope. And if you haven't got it, don't leave until you get it. So last week, Tian shared about when we want to descend to help people, to have compassion for people, we first have to ascend. We have to go to the throne room of God and get his perspective to be able to descend. So this evening I'm going to be focusing on the ascend part. And Tiens mentioned last week from Revelations 4:1, it says, after this I looked up, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. Heaven is our natural habitat. We should always be able to see things from heaven's perspective. And that is something that really shook me, because when he said heaven's door is open, I thought, well, we have access all the time. We should be there. And a wise man, Maximus of the Gladiator movie, said, brothers, what we do now will echo in eternity. And I really love that. I thought, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that is something that it just wrecks me when I hear that, because I think, what am I doing on a daily basis? Because that's going to echo in eternity. And if I'm just thinking about what's happening today, I'm in trouble. And C.S. Lewis, for good measure, he says, the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have begun thinking less of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. And I think that's really powerful, that when we aim at heaven, we get earth. When our focus, you know, when you think of the disciples back in the day, they were kind of to death. They were lion's den and hectic lives. I think today we kind of live pretty comfortable lives compared to them. But their eyes were fixed on that all the time, and that's why they lived such incredible lives. The Apostle Paul, who was one of those, he said, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And I think most of us understand we have a sense that there's something more to life, that there's something more than what we know here. I think even if you speak to friends who have a new age perspective or other faiths, they say there's something out there. I have a friend who doesn't believe so much in the same God I do, but she always says, you know, my God, or, you know, the higher power. And it always irritates me. I just think, man, just know the right God. But everybody has that sense. Even if people talk about creation or the nature around us, everybody has that sense of there's something bigger than ourselves. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he has set eternity in the human heart. Our bodies may be perishing. Amen. Not yet. Okay. Never mind. One day you will understand. I was at a wedding once with a pastor said, will you still love him when his six-pack drops? I thought, okay, so The eternal God came into our temporal world as Jesus. Eternity broke into time and gave us access to a relationship with God. So when we have a relationship with God, that is us connecting with eternity already. So once you have relationship, you can already connect with eternity. And that's an incredible gift that we have, that it starts now. We don't have to wait for one day until we die to meet Jesus. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So what does it mean to live in view of eternity? So today I want to just give you a reminder of what that means. We all know the concept, but I think we often get pulled under by our circumstances. I don't know about you, but every time I hear a preaching or a word or a focus on the family on the way into work or a Joyce Myers, I'm just like, oh yeah, okay, shift, just like a reshift, refresh, restart sometimes. And I think we need to be reminded of that so often, especially in this day and age. As the Bible puts it, it's the cares of the world that drag us under. I love this. A psychologist, Dr. William Marston, surveyed 3,000 people and asked, "What do you live for?" 94% said they were just enduring their lives, hoping that someday it will just get better. I love that because it just sums up what obviously a lot of people are going through, but that is very sad. I hope that 0% of you feel that way, but if you do, then tonight is the night we need to rectify that situation. And I think we really need to take time and think about what are we doing on this earth? Why are we here? What is our purpose? What is God's plan for us? And not just go through life. All of you know how fast-paced life is these days, and we just to even put on your phone for a few minutes is quite a sacrifice. We have to pretty much fast and pray to take time to meet with the Lord. If we truly believe one day we'll live out our lives in eternity with Jesus, we need to live our lives in view of eternity. So if any of you are participating in a race or you're going for a trip, you always need to think about where you're going, how far how long it'll take to get there, petrol for your car, fuel for your body if you're running it or you're cycling it or you're swimming it. And we always need to start with the end in mind, right? To be able to know where we're going, to be able to plan, we've got to know where we're going. And it's the same with eternity. We have to start with eternity is our end destination, and therefore we should be living our lives in view of that. So knowing where our lives are heading will shape how we prepare for that destination and therefore how we live out our lives on earth. So death is inevitable. We all know that. When I lived in China, they have whitening cream that I was supposed to use it as well, apparently. Not too sure why. Apparently it helps with blemishes or something. I said, I'm trying to be brown. Thank you very much. But there's a lot of potions out there, lots of long life, anti-aging creams many women spend a lot of money on. But we know inevitably the end destination is still the same. Well, in the end, we will all pass from this life. And one day, everyone will, you know, kind of forget about us. We will move on. Sounds depressing. One day, someone will say, who is Princess Diana? Who is Mandela? Who are these people? And I'm sure the names will still live on, but perhaps the story about them will become unclear. And I think that's something that it can be really depressing to think, wow, this is just our life and no one will even remember us and what's the point. But I really want to encourage you tonight to make the most of what you have here. We want to leave a legacy. And often I'm in school, they often say, what do you want to be on your tombstone? And that is something I've always thought, you know, I mean, nobody really cares, like owner of the best car or CEO of the company. That's never what we want right at the end. So I'd like to show you something. Let me go and get it. Doody. Okay. Here we go. It's coming. Okay. It's not a snake, I promise. Okay. Belongs to a diver, so if you need it, no, climber, sorry, but he dives as well. Okay, thanks. All right, so this rope is very long. You can't see it. It's curled up in the corner there. 60 meters, Kenny? He assures me, okay. This represents eternity, this whole bit. Okay, so we start at the beginning. You're born, right? Very exciting for most of us. Okay, then you go to school, first steps, you go to school, maybe your first kiss, very exciting, break up, ooh, life is over, can't face anyone ever again, then you pick yourself up, maybe you get married, have kids, or you study somewhere in between, hopefully, get a job, and then eventually we pass away. And that's about here. So that is eternity. This is your life on earth. Yikes, that's pretty short. So all of that packed into this little bit. This is pretty much all that we have. The Bible says our life is as mist. We are as mist. We are as grass that withers. We are a passing shadow. How's that for an ego destruction right there? That is who we are. That is how quick our lives are on this earth. This is our time. And it's really short and fleeting. And this is something we want to really think about. If we're only living for life on this earth, our focus will be on the things we have, the successes and the pleasures of this world alone. If we reduce everything in life to earth alone, we'll never be satisfied. When will enough truly be enough? Okay, so when we think of it in this way, a lot of what we have is really meaningless in eternity, right? And I'm not saying things are bad, but it's how we view them in light of eternity. How you view life will affect all the choices you make in this life. Okay, so here we have a suitcase. For those of you visual like me. We have a suitcase, okay? And the suitcase, think of it when you're born. You get a suitcase. Hopefully it's bigger than this, otherwise you're not going to get to have much of a life. And whatever you pack into that will take you throughout your life and into eternity. You're going to take the suitcase with you to eternity. And I really want you to think about what you're packing in this suitcase. Will it be of use in eternity or not? And I've flown a lot, I've traveled a lot in my life, and there's been so many times where, I'm sure those of you traveled, you get on the aeroplane and it's tropical summer and you land somewhere in the snow. And I'm always surprised when I see people on the plane, kind of shorts and t-shirt and pluckies, and then they get out in the snow with the same attire and freezing. And then I kind of think, did you not think about the fact that you were going to the snow? It's in their main luggage, but not in their hand luggage. And that's something I've always looked ahead, put in my hand luggage, a jacket, or if it's winter where I'm starting from, I've got layers. And then you go into the bathroom and start peeling off. And just a tip, you know, if you're flying. And this is the same with the suitcases of our lives, where we can pack stuff in it and that's great, but it's irrelevant for our destination in the end. So we really need to make sure what we're packing. So I'll give you an example here. I have a lot of stuff. This is some of my, just a few, like there's so many, I couldn't carry them all. These are my running and cycling medals. So proud. So very proud. It's not comrades, but it's important for me. And let's see. Oh, okay. Ooh, Chinese certificate. I speak Chinese because that's important. Ooh, yes. And then Mama Trick. Okay, we don't need to worry about that. All right. Louis Vuitton, baby. Louis Vuitton. Have you ever seen me actually use it? Oh, no. I don't even know how it works. I mean, really, ladies, how do you function like that? It's heavy already and there's nothing in it. But my Korean friend gave me this from China and she said it's real. So it sits real in my house, looking pretty, because I don't know how it works. Okay, but this is really when you think about your own suitcase, your achievements, what is packed in there, what is of importance. I think, you know, there's so many things that are incredible, and there's nothing wrong with having running medals, there's nothing wrong with achieving, but do we pull them out at a party and kind of go, ooh, I did this, and drop little hints, like when I did my marathon, you know, oh, the August the other day. And they'd be, oh, you did that. It was nothing. You sit there looking all holy, laughing at me like you never do it. We all do. That's when you have those awkward moments and you need to kind of make yourself look a bit better. I don't know how many of you have been to your reunions. I just skip them because I think it's very awkward. I don't remember anyone from high school anymore. It's been so long. But I think that's a place where you see what you really value and who you are. It comes out when you start having to kind of rent a wife to go along with you, or photos of your wonderful family and all your achievements. Okay, 1 John 2:15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So what are you packing into your suitcases of life? And how are you equipping yourself for eternity? So tonight I want to just give you a few practical ways that we can prepare better for eternity. We want to have an eternal perspective because that alters the way that we live our lives. And I think there's so many times when we kind of just in our little life and we really need a higher perspective. I don't know how many of you, I actually read a book once where they spoke about where you get in a lift and you go higher and you just look out and you kind of think the troubles of the world just disappear. They haven't changed. They're just smaller. It's just perspective. I think that's often what we need is just perspective. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So how then should we live our lives with eternity in mind? What should we pack? We want to build our lives on the eternal that will last forever. So one example is time. That is something that we can invest in the right way. So not sure you woke up this morning. Maybe Monday morning is more appropriate. I'm not sure how many of you go, "Good morning, Lord." You do? Well done, Monique. You're holier than thou, than us. I think a lot of us are, "Good Lord, it's morning." But it's really, you know, I think one of the most, the best ways we can spend our time is building relationships with people around us, whether it's colleagues, whether it's, like Monique shared, at clinics. I think with our brothers and sisters, this is something that will never be in vain. I think when you go to funerals, it's always interesting to see. I remember my grandfather's funeral. It was so packed. People were pouring out the church. And I was like, wow, what a great man. I never knew this about him. I think that's something where time is something we have. We can make decisions over how we spend our time, even though we have so little of it often with work. Max Lucado, I feel, sums it up nicely. He says, "When you're in the final days of your life, what will you want? Will you hug that college degree in the walnut frame? Will you ask to be carried to the garage so that you can sit in your car? Will you find comfort in rereading your financial statement? Definitely not for some of us. It will bring much fear and trembling again. Okay, what will matter most then will be people. If relationships will matter most, then shouldn't they matter most now?" Right, so if we're living with the end in mind, then we need to be thinking about how we're planning for that end. So the first thing is time. The second thing is talents. So this includes our giftings, our calling, and all of our talents are unique. And I think that's something, Monique and I were having a long chat last night about, you know, a lot of us despise what we have. And we kind of think, this is all I've got, and I'm not like him, and I'm not like her, and if only I was, and if only I was like that. I think we waste a lot of our time, a lot of our lives, hoping and waiting for when that day we're like somebody or we can be like someone else, or if we had enough of this or enough of that. And I think, you know, we really have to trust God that we are stewarding what he's given us effectively. And as Monique shared earlier, I think that's something I just really want to honor her. Go to the next one. That's her in the TB clinic she showed you earlier. And I've been with her a few times, and it's really, she goes twice a week for about 2 hours, and she often says, "Oh, I've got a rush. I want to be there by visiting time, and if I can't go, I only get an hour, and I can't see everyone, and it's a mad whirlwind." You go in, and then she's like, "Hallo, hallat met aval," and it's Afrikaans, regardless if you're Xhosa, English speaking. Everybody learns Afrikaans from Monique. She takes sweets, she takes muffins. If you've ever stayed at her house, she does not cook ever. Takeaways only, but the TB clinic people get muffins baked by Monique. I've been there many times. I've never had a meal. Future life will get you through. It's all you need. And I really, really want to challenge you, you know, really that saying, what's in your hand? I think we've preached about that before. That is something, it's just down the road from Monique. She's always, "Oh, I want to change where I live. I want to change where I work." And then she's like, "But God's placed me here in Milnerton for this." And I just think no one else would be so well placed or positioned for a ministry like that. I think any of us going in there would just be like, "Whoa, how does this work?" It's really a messy, messy ministry, but she just goes in there and loves on them and then makes you pray and you learn and grow. All right, so we have time, we have talents, then we have treasure. So generally we think of treasure as money, and this is important, how we invest our money, where we invest our money. But then also we have a lot of things at our disposal, like faith. That's, we have a gift of faith. We have relationships with our family, with our colleagues, with our friends. So how are we making use of that? That is also a treasure that we have in our hands. Colossians 3, 1 to 2 says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. So we cannot take anything with us. Everything, all the treasures in our suitcase, as impressive as they may be this side of life, they're going to be useless in eternity. So are we storing up riches in this world, or are we preparing for eternity? I think there's a lot of things we need to check in our lives. What has become an idol to us? What is great and useful going forward? And where do we need to make some changes? So the exciting news is life on earth is not all there is. It's not our final destination. And that is exciting. So those of us who struggling along, there's a lot of people with terminal illness. And that's something we can have hope in, that this is not our final destination. Our culture, especially in Cape Town, says something different. And I belong to a running club, and the conversations that I hear in with my club, and also when we're running races, I heard two ladies discussing some relationship with a guy, and the lady's like, oh, well, yeah, he always wants me to go visit, and this, and this, and this, and then she's like, no, I broke up with him because it was too much, and then the friend's like, yes, you must do whatever makes you happy. I thought, well, that sounds like very bad relationship advice, because the last time I checked, it's about mutual. You're supposed to, you know, anyone who's married will tell you, lay down your life for the other person. But, okay, I don't know the details, but in general, what I keep hearing is whatever makes you happy, and if you want to do this or you want to do that, you are number one. You can do whatever you think you can do. And that is really not how it works in the kingdom of God. That is not how God has created us to be. He's created us to serve and to really build and invest in relationships. I think many of us, we think we'll be happier when we have a better car, when we have a relationship that we're waiting for, when we have, you know, a degree or many of you are studying. So when we finally get there, life will be incredible. And that's all good and well. But again, where does that satisfaction come? Where does that deep desire come? Where does the satisfaction for that desire come from? So this is, life on earth, as I said, is not our destination. Eternity is. So life is not about he who has the most toys wins. We're all aware of that. But we can really be encouraged that there is more. Colossians 1:5 is a great reminder. It says, the lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack, tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, kept taut by hope. And I think this speaks to me. I really see it's like a line from heaven, a rope coming down. And that rope is hope. And if we don't have hope, like I said in the beginning, we need to have hope to give hope to others. And we're living in a very hopeless society often, or people who feel they're without hope. And that is something where, you know, the Lord says it's him who gives us hope. It's looking at heaven, looking at that perspective. And I just want to share, one of my friends, she was sharing with me that she was struggling with her in her work and really just having a bit of a tough time and saying, you know, it's too hard and there's an obstacle in my way and it's too big. And I can't do this. And then the Lord showed her that there was a very small block that was like just off the ground, but she was lying on the ground in the fetal position in front of it, or behind it rather, kind of like that guy under his desk. And we all had a good laugh because we thought that's how we often are. We think this thing is so big and I'll never get over it. And it's just huge and I can't. And actually, God says, just get up, just stand up, just have a different perspective. I've got this. This is tiny for me. And I think that's something where we feel hopeless as well. It's, are we having the right perspective about it? Do we really believe and trust a God that is bigger than our problems, than what we're facing? When we view the bigger picture, hope is restored. Hope is the response to a future that has its foundation in God's eternity. I just want to repeat that. Hope is the response to a future that has its foundation in God's eternity. So we can only have hope when we know there's more than this life, that this nation is not the end, the way that we see things. I love that view because when we fly, we get to look down and just say, wow, you know, it all looks beautiful from that angle. I think sometimes we need that perspective again. I love in the last words of the Narnia series, C.S. Lewis says, all their life in this world and all their adventures had only been the cover and the title page. Now at last they were beginning chapter one of the great story, which no one on earth has read, which goes on forever, in which every chapter is better than the one before. Isn't that exciting? I'm looking forward to that. And I just tonight want to say to you that you have been created for more. You really need to receive that tonight, that you have been created for more. This is not just a salary, a family, and that's it. But we have been created for more. We need to live with purpose. We need to live to be productive, not just busy. And I really want to challenge you tonight, if God has placed dreams in your heart that usually they're big and scary if they're from the Lord, then act on them. Take those first steps. And even if you can't see the bigger picture, even if you're not sure of everything, take that step. Take that step of faith. Start investigating. Start, unraveling, seeing where the Lord is leading you. And that may be scary to do, but, you know, when I heard this topic preached about 3 years ago, and I wrote it everywhere. I was like, live in view of eternity. And that has really defined who I am now. I think if I worked for a salary, if I worked for man's, satisfied, being pleased with me, I would have chosen a very different path in life. But to me, relationships is the most important, and seeing people's lives transformed. And that is why I'm so excited by testimonies like Mioni, like Monique, like Gert last week, and so many others of really people investing in others' lives. Matthew, if you and the band can come up, we're going to close. As they end with a worship song, I really want to encourage you tonight that if you firstly feeling hopeless tonight, if you feel like that guy under the desk curled up in the fetal position, that it's overwhelming, then I want you to remember this view of the plane, that this is God's view of us, really, how I see it. He's obviously not doctrinally, he's not sitting up in heaven looking down on us. He is with us. But I think sometimes we need to almost just lift ourselves out of our problems. Let him lift us out. And what is your perspective of life today? Where do you feel you're heading? Do you know what you're called to? Do you know what your purpose is? If you don't know, then we want to pray with you tonight for God to really reveal that. And it's always going to be in line with his word. He's not going to call you to something that's not in his purposes in general. So really, we want to trust that tonight you will have that revelation tonight of what your purpose is, what you're called to do. And if you don't know this God of hope, I really want to encourage you to come forward. And we're going to pray for you that you can start this relationship with this Lord, with this Jesus that links us with eternity. Lastly, I just want to leave this with you. Hope, again, hope is the response to a future that has its foundation in God's eternity. Lift up your eyes and let God restore your hope. Let's stand. And if you would like some prayer, you can...